This is, welcome, by the way, August 12th, 1915. Hours, Eastern Daylight Time, Ward Green with you. I love you. I'm going to be sharing some more with you from the movie Root Cause, hopefully today. That's in the schedule. And we've got a song from Bobby Darin from 1959. Right, okay. So, I think we can... We've had such cold weather, by the way. Cold for the middle of the summer here. We're not really officially at the beginning of summer, I guess, but we're getting into August, and... Well, we're almost at the middle of August now, so... But it's scheduled to be, or predicted, the forecast, that is, to be a very cool temperature series of days. The whole of August is supposed to be, or forecast to be, cold compared to what we normally see in the summer. Seems cold to me, sort of like 25, 20, 22 degrees Celsius, 20, sometimes 28, but that's the... But most of it is much cooler than we typically see, I think. Hiccups. Carl Jung said, "We cannot change anything until we accept it. Condemnation does not liberate, it oppresses." Let me just adjust this camera angle. I think you'd rather see my face than my neck, somehow. Oh no, what's that? It's rocking back and forth. Come on. Better? Now another quote from the Chinese philosopher Lao Tzu: "Be content with what you have. Rejoice in the way things are. When you realize there's nothing lacking, the whole world belongs to you." Mark Twain, the American humorist: "Let us live so that when we come to die, even the undertaker will be sorry." Sounds like good advice. From the movie Root Cause, which is from 2018, Wow. Right. Now, the ads in this movie, I want to emphasize, are not good. So I will be muting them if they come up. This is a very short sequence I want to share with you here. It's about the proper method to extract an infected tooth or a root canal tooth, one that's had a root canal. Here we go.
Your tooth is connected to your jawbone by way of what we call a periodontal ligament.
If a tooth is properly pulled, when the tooth is out, the dentist will also take out that ligament. And if that ligament is gone, that bone will heal in so that there is full bone and you have a restored jawbone. But if the doctor pulls that tooth and doesn't take out that ligament, that space where that tooth was may seal over on the top and be a cavity.
So that periodontal ligament staying in the socket, it prevents communication from the body being able to send the osteoblasts and the osteoclasts to that extraction site and fill in with healthy bone. It becomes...
Okay. There's so much good information in that, that film. From 2018. I'm sorry if I'm slurring my speech. I'm still in great discomfort, significantly large discomfort from my apparent infection from this tooth, 3/6, but it also, and this is a mirror image, by the way, this camera view, but so it's on the left. Lower left side. But the other thing, I've got another wisdom, not wisdom, I've got another root canal tooth. It's 4-2. That sounds right. Yeah. And it was caused by the dental drill perforating the canal of that very narrow tooth. One of my previous dentists perforated that, and it became infected. We think that's how. And so it needed to have a root canal, we thought, but now I don't believe that root canals are necessary anymore. But I think there's a better way, which is to extract and then curette the socket to remove the periodontal ligament, as was just mentioned, and also to disinfect inside the socket thoroughly before closing up the top of the socket so that the bone can then grow in without being infected or without being obstructed by the periodontal ligament, which is just the ligament that all bones have to connect them to other bones. That's what the word ligament means. The periodontal part means it's got to do with the tooth. Okay, so Bobby Darin came out with a song in 1959, and it was a multi-million seller as a single, reaching number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100 for a week, according to Wikipedia, and number 4 on Billboard's Hot R&B Sides chart. So it didn't reach number 1. We don't have any other charting here. Oh, it reached number 1 on the UK's New Musical Express chart for 4 weeks in July 1959. This is a massive hit. Number 5 on Norway's VG Lista chart, and number 5 on Canada's Chum Hit Parade. And there's more. I mean, it was in the top 30 or 20 in other cases there. But, I mean, it's a huge song. It's a huge song from Bobby Darin, 1959, called Dream Lover.
Every night I hope and pray a dream lover will come my way. A girl to hold in my arms and know the magic of her charms. 'Cause I want a girl to call my own. I want a dream lover so I don't have to dream alone. Dream lover, where are you? With a love oh so true, and the hand that I can hold, hear you near as I grow old. 'Cause I want a girl to call my own. I want a dream lover so I don't have to dream alone. Someday, I don't know how, she'll hear my plea. Some way, I don't know how, she'll bring her love to me. Dream lover, until then, I'll go to sleep and dream again. That's the only thing to do, till all my lover's dreams come true. 'Cause I want a girl to call my. I don't have to dream alone.
I mean, that's a memorable song. I didn't pay much attention to these songs, perhaps at the time, but I'm sure they did have quite an impact on me. And of course, many of them are, you know, performed by people who didn't live godly lives. Let's be clear about that. Let's be sure. These are not people we necessarily want to emulate. From Born and Raised, the date of King Herod's conquest of Jerusalem is from Josephus' Antiquities. We had that one yesterday, didn't we? Yeah. 4 and 5. Okay, it is 4 and 6. I was primed and ready. The 18th year of King Herod as BCE 20 is based on year 1 for him as BCE 37, which is a very widely accepted date of Herod's conquest of Jerusalem, although he may have been officially appointed as king in BCE 40 to 39, a dating which would only move his year 18 back earlier, which would make, of course, the period when Jesus began to preach be shifted back earlier also, and therefore his crucifixion would be shifted back earlier also. So that's not really something that favors the other facts of the case, such as his birth date, his the 40 years prior to the destruction of the temple of the Jews, being the time when these troubles started, evidently, as we talked about, because of the crucifixion, and so on. But the Jews certainly wouldn't likely accept Herod as king prior to his conquering Jerusalem, even though, you know, he may have been appointed earlier. And also, Herod himself as a Jew likewise wouldn't have reckoned his own regnal years as beginning before BCE 37 because of that conquest, which is in perfect agreement with 27 CE in Jesus' day, that is for the time when Jesus he went up to the Passover, the very first Passover that followed his baptism. And it's in perfect agreement also with Herod's 18th year in BCE 20. So that we have from 37, 17 years to the 18th year of Herod, which is 17 from 37 is 20. So we have BCE 20 for Herod's 18th year, fulfilling Daniel's word of the 62 weeks, as we discussed before, that date falling on the year 20, and then the 7 weeks falling between the time after 20 and Jesus' crucifixion, in other words, that interval. Whether the Jews of Herod's and Jesus' time would have been able to accurately reckon back to the 20th or the 7th year of Artaxerxes so as to know that 62 weeks in Daniel's prophecy corresponded to Herod's year 18 when the temple rebuilding began is hardly probable for us. We don't know what, we haven't found out from any sources that we have or what the Jews thought about the 62 weeks at the time of the rebuilding of the temple by Herod in 20 CE, which is Herod's 18th year. But it is a brilliant thing for us today to see the 49 years or 7 weeks from Daniel 9 and 25, which fall from BCE 20 to 30 CE. It would have been 50 years, except there's no year zero, so it's 49 years. That's the end of our study of that for today. That was Born and Raised, chapter 4, paragraph 6. On the lips of the understanding person, wisdom is found, but the rod is for the back and one of want of heart. Proverbs 10 and 13. Right. Very nice. So that's the reason for giving somebody the punishment of striking them with a rod as discipline, which typically would be done in a proper way, not with the excessive use of force, but to keep them on the right path by giving them a reason. An understanding person, that's different. They will have wisdom on their lips already. Now it's a struggle physically to do any of this. I don't want to quit, but it's a problem, very severe problem. And you know what? I thought recently, the problem could be from 4-2. That was a root canal done on that tooth. That root canal, even though it doesn't have any symptoms, it's also conceivable that could be causing all of my problems and even affecting this other tooth. It's possible because they're all connected somehow through the jawbone and so on. But, you know, all these nerves. But this 4-2 needs to be extracted, I've just realized, because it's a root canal tooth, has to come out. But the curetting has to be done of the socket, and complete disinfecting of the socket has to be done, and then it has to be sealed over the top by suturing the gum. I guess we would say it that way. So coming to our next chapter for the study, little ones, Deuteronomy 3 says, this is Moses continuing his account of where the Israelites went in the past. Then we turned and went up by the way of Bashan. At this, Og, the king of Bashan, came on out, he and all his people, to meet us in battle at Edrei. So Jehovah said to me, do not be afraid of him, for I shall certainly give him and all his people and his land into your hand. And you must do to him just as you did to Sihon, the king of the Amorites, who was dwelling in Heshbon, Accordingly, Jehovah our God gave into our hand also Og, the king of Bashan, and all his people. And we kept striking him until he had no survivor remaining. And we went capturing all his cities at that particular time. There proved to be no town that we did not take from them. 60 cities, all the region of Argob, the kingdom of Og in Bashan. All these were cities fortified with a high wall, doors and bar, aside from very many rural towns. However, we devoted them to destruction, just as we had done to Sihon, the king of Heshbon, in devoting every city to destruction, men, women, and little children, and all the domestic animals and the spoil of the cities we took as plunder for ourselves. And we proceeded to take at that particular time the land from the hand of the two kings of the Amorites who were in the region of the Jordan, that's Sihon and Og, from the torrent valley of Arnon as far as Mount Hermon. The Sidonians used to call Hermon Sirion, and the Amorites used to call it Senir. All the cities of the tableland, and all Gilead, and all Bashan, as far as Saleka and Edrei, the cities of the kingdom of Og in Bashan. For only Og, the king of Bashan, remained of what was left of the Rephaim. Look, his bier was a bier of iron, a bier meaning his casket. Is it not in Rabbah? Or is it either a casket or it's a... the thing by which they carried him to his grave. is it not Rabbah of the sons of Ammon? 9 cubits is its length. Is it not in Rabbah? This bier was a bier of iron. And Moses said, is it not in Rabbah of the sons of Ammon? 9 cubits is its length and 4 cubits its width. Well, a cubit is about 1.5 feet. So 9 cubits. Wait, a cubit is 1.5 feet. That's a giant. And 4 cubits its width by the cubit of a man. By the cubit of a man is 18 inches, 1.5 cubits. The Egyptian cubit, which is what we've found before in our study of Noah's Ark, in the Ark of Urartu article, that was the actual size of the Ark in terms of it corresponded to the exact width of the Ark, taking it from the various the beam width, that is, of the ship. Was that it was the shape of a ship, not a rectangle. But the beam width was exactly this certain number of cubits given in the Bible as an Egyptian cubit, 18 inches for a human cubit, that is. And we took possession of this land at that particular time from a rower, which is by the torrent valley of Arnon, and half of the mountainous region of Gilead. And its cities I've given to the Reubenites and the Gadites, and the rest of Gilead and all Bashan of the kingdom of Og I have given to the half tribe of Manasseh. All the region of Argob and of all Bashan, is it not called the land of the Rephaim? All the region of Argob of all Bashan, is it not called the land of the Rephaim? Jehu, the son of Manasseh, took all the region of Argob as far as the boundary of the Geshurites and the Maacathites, and he proceeded to call those villages of Bashan by his own name, Havoth Jair, to this day. And to Machir I have given Gilead, and to the Reubenites and the Gadites I have given from Gilead to the torrent valley of Arnon, the middle of the torrent valley being a boundary. And that is a boundary of the sons of Ammon. That is Jabbok. It's Jabbok. The torrent valley that is the boundary of the sons of Ammon. And the Arabah and the... I called it the Abarah yesterday. The Arabah and the Jordan. See. Angelil. René Angelil was the husband of... He's the late husband of Céline Dion, which I didn't quite put into the video yesterday. And the Arabah and the Jordan and the border from Kinnereth to the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea at the base of the slopes of Pisgah toward the sun rising. So it went as far as Jabbok, which was the boundary of the sons of Ammon. They didn't go into the land of the sons of Ammon. So, from Gilead to the torrent valley of Arnon, as far as Jabbok, the Arabah and the Jordan, and the border from Kinnereth to the Sea of the Arabah, which is the Salt Sea at the base of the slopes of Pisgah toward the sun rising. So I commanded you men at that particular time, saying, Jehovah your God, 24 minutes left, gone. We've got 9 minutes left. Jehovah your God has given you this land to take possession of it. You will pass over equipped before your brothers, the sons of Israel, all the valiant men. Only your wives and your little ones and your livestock. I well know that you have a great deal of livestock, will continue dwelling in your cities, your livestock, that is, and your sons and your wives, your little ones, until you will continue dwelling in your cities that I have given you, until Jehovah gives your brothers rest as well as you, and they also have taken possession of the land that Jehovah your God has given them across the Jordan, after which you must come back, each one to his holding that I have given you. And I commanded Joshua at that particular time, saying, your eyes are seeing all that Jehovah your God has done to these two kings. The same way Jehovah will do to all the kingdoms to which you are passing over there. You men must not be afraid of them, for Jehovah your God is the one fighting for you. And I proceeded to implore favor from Jehovah at that particular time, saying, O sovereign Lord Jehovah, you yourself have started to make your servants see your greatness and your strong arm. Arm, for who is a God in the heavens or on the earth that does deeds like yours and mighty performances like yours? Let me pass over, please, and see the good land that is across the Jordan, this good mountainous region in Lebanon. This is Moses asking Jehovah to let him see the land. And Jehovah continued to be furious against me on your account, that is the Israelites' account, and did not listen to me, but Jehovah said to me, that is enough of you. Do not never speak to me further on this matter. Go up to the top of Pisgah and raise your eyes to the west and north and south and east and see with your eyes, for you will not pass over this Jordan. And commission Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, because he is the one to pass over before this people, and he is the one to cause them to inherit the land that you will see. All this while we were dwelling in the valley in front of Beth Peor. So this is across the Jordan River from Jericho, where they are at the time when these things happened. This is Moses telling the account as a past sequence of events. And now we have 2 Corinthians 7. Beautiful, beautiful chapter here. Therefore, Moses writing to the Corinthians in his second letter, therefore, since we have these promises, beloved ones, let us cleanse ourselves of every defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in God's fear. Allow room for us. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have taken advantage of no one. I do not say this to condemn you, for I have said before that you are in our hearts to die and to live with us. I have great freeness of speech toward you. I have great boasting in regard to you. I am filled with comfort. I am overflowing with joy in all our affliction. I just realized my glasses might be a little bit foggy here. Get them back on my face. Okay. That might improve things. I'm overflowing with joy. With comfort, that is. I'm overflowing. I'm filled with comfort. I'm overflowing with joy in all our affliction. In fact, when we arrived in Macedonia, our flesh got no relief, but we continued to be afflicted in every manner. There were fights without, fears within. Nevertheless, God, who comforts those laid low, comforted us by the presence of Titus, yet not alone by his presence, but also by the comfort with which he had been comforted over you, as he brought us word again of your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced yet more. Hence, even if I saddened you by my letter, I do not regret it. He's talking about his first letter. Even if I did first regret it, I see that that letter saddened you, though but for a little while. Now I rejoice, not because you were just saddened, but because you were saddened into repenting. For you were saddened in a godly way, that you might suffer no damage in anything due to us. For sadness in a godly way makes for repentance to salvation, that is not to be regretted. But the sadness of the world produces death. For look, this thing, your being saddened in a godly way, what a great earnestness it produced in you. Yes, clearing of yourselves. Yes, indignation. Yes, fear. Yes, longing. Yes, zeal. Yes, righting of the wrong. In every respect, you demonstrated yourselves to be chaste in this matter. Certainly, although I wrote you, I did it neither for the one who did the wrong, nor for the one who was wronged, but that your earnestness for us might be made manifest among you in the sight of God. That is why we have been comforted. However, in addition to our comfort, we rejoice still more abundantly due to the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by all of you. For if I have made my boast, or any boast, to him about you, I have not been put to shame, but as we have spoken all things to you in truth, so also our boasting before Titus has proved to be true. Also his tender affections are more abundant toward you, while he calls to mind the obedience of all of you, how you received him with fear and trembling. I rejoice that in every way I may have good courage by reason of you. Got 3 minutes, 2 minutes, actually 2 minutes. So we did well in the time, with regard to the time. So Titus, because he was made joyous by his visit to the Corinthians, that made Paul happy. That made Paul happy as well. And the one who was with Paul, he mentions him here, doesn't he? Also, the fact that yesterday in our study we had Sihon, the king of the Amorites, was in the chapter we were doing, whichever day it was when we did it. And I just couldn't find the word Amorite with regard to Sihon, and that's why I did some other flailing around trying to find it. But of course he was the Amorite, one of the Amorite kings, including Og, the other king of the Amorites. So can we find that in here? Is there a way to find it? Let's look up Silas. Just for interest. Silas. And see where he appears. Does he appear in 2 Corinthians? No. He doesn't, according to that. So, Paul refers to himself as with someone else. He said, we. But the most significant verse here in the whole chapter is 7 and 1 of 2 Corinthians. Therefore, since we have these promises, beloved ones, let us cleanse ourselves of every defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in God's fear. Allow room for us. Is the next beginning of the next verse, that is. Okay, so our time is up. It has been, and still is, Saturday, August 12th, 2023. It's 1948 hours. 1948 CE was the year when Israel became an independent country after many, many years, thousands of years of not being a country. That's right. That was amazing. So, now, I love you all. I love you very much. And this is date and time, August 12th, 1948 hours Eastern Daylight Time, of course. And in my behalf, this is Star and Cammie saying bye for now.